Next week there won't be a shiur. Last week I mentioned this idea.
Where are we?
We're on Daf Ayin Zayin Omid Beis.
What's happening with W?
Yes, I got that part.
The bottom of Ayin Zayin Omid Beis. Last week I mentioned an idea about the difference between Hafara and Hatara. The husband or the father does Hafarat Nadarim, and the Beitin or Chacham can do Hatarat Nadarim. And I mentioned the idea that when the father or the husband do Hafara, it's retroactive. And when the Betin does Hatara, it's from that point forward. Now, that is correct, but it is correct according to the Rambam. There is a different opinion, which happens to be the exact opposite opinion, which is ascribed to principally the Ran and other Rishonim. So those of you listening to the tape that thought I made a mistake last week know that I was explaining it according to the Rambam. Now, this is going to come back to us today. Look on the bottom of Ayin Zayin Omud Beis, 77b, third line from the bottom, middle of the line. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Chacham Shamar B'Lashon Baal, Val Shamar B'Lashon Chacham, Lo Amar Klum. If the husband tries to be Matir, and the Chacham, or the Betin, tries to be Mefer, it don't work. In other words, Hafara and Hatara are not merely different verbs for the same thing. They are categorically different acts. You know that, like when Americans come and they learn to speak Hebrew real goodly, they make mistakes like saying Lavashti Kova. That's a mistake. Why can't you wear a hat in Hebrew? Because in Hebrew you don't lovesh a kova, you chovesh a kova. As David can explain to us why that verb was assigned to, right? You don't wear. As in English, you can wear a hat, you can wear a shirt, and you can wear shoes. In Hebrew, these are three different verbs.
Probably in times of Talmud, they would wrap.
Yeah, presumably that's why a hat is. That's why a hat is chavush.
Yeah.
Right. Even though our hats are no longer wound around like a turban, right? But the language assigns different verbs to different activities. But essentially, they're synonyms. If in a court of law you had to give testimony about something, and you said lavashti kova, from the context it would be obvious, and the testimony would be
after they laughed at your testimony.
Either they would laugh or they wouldn't laugh, but the testimony would stand, because the meaning was obvious, even though you were a little imprecise in your use of word choice. Hafara and hatara are not the same thing. And if a husband says mutarlach, in order to cancel out his wife's neder, lo asaklum. And similarly, if the betin were to say mufarlach, lo amarklum.
For husbands to die, is that?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, but the roles are different.
It's a different process, but since we said that, remember that was a previous sugya, two sugya ago, about to what degree is Hatarat Nedarim and Betin a Mase Betin? Right? In other words, not everything the court does is a Mase Betin, even though there are certain things that only the court is allowed to do. And it's nowadays when, did I give this example? You don't know, because I haven't set up the examples yet. A judge can act as a Masada Kedushin, not in Eretz Yisrael. But in America, a judge is allowed to officiate at weddings, like a ship captain.
Or just the piece.
Or just the piece.
Or an Elvis impersonator.
Or?
An Elvis impersonator.
Or only in Vegas. When a judge serves as Masada Kedushin, when a judge officiates at a wedding, he can create the marital the marital bond between husband and wife, the legal bond between husband and wife. I'm not speaking halachically, of course. But he or she are not acting in their judicial role. It's a right that's assigned to judges, to ship captains at sea. Oh, yes, we did talk about this. In what context did we talk about this? If you don't remember the Gemara, you should at least remember all the references to popular culture. It's a Beferish Gilligan's Island, where the skipper, they have to go out into the lagoon on a raft in order for him to perform the wedding of Thurston Howell III and Lovey, because they discover that their Kiddushin had not been Chalin 50 years earlier. So they had to go out to, and of course, since Gilligan made the raft that they went out into the open waters on, it sunk. Fortunately, they brought a lot of changes of clothes for the 3-hour tour.
No, apparently their luggage washed up on shore because they had a house fire. Was in one of the episodes.
I'm not holding, but I rely on your bakias.
I'll Google it.
So that's an interesting question. If the husband is a mumche, the husband can't be mayfair because he missed the deadline. But he could be matir in his role because we said that Hatarat Nedarim is not technically a Maaseh Beit Din, and therefore all of those requirements of Maaseh Beit Din.
No, I wouldn't say it's after the time. It would be during that first day.
Yeah.
After the time, it wouldn't work in any case. Because it doesn't matter if he's the husband or not, he still can't be Mefir.
Right.
He's using the wrong terminology. So if a husband who was a Mumcha would, after he has passed, use the Shon of Hapara, it wouldn't help.
I'm
saying, what if he does it within that day? And he says, Mutarach.
In other words, the husband who's a Dayan Mumche, he has two magic wands. One as husband and one as Dayan.
Use the wrong term.
He used the magic wand that he used to do the job.
Because, in other words, unless he led her through the Drisha V'Chakira that's necessary with the Harata and with all the other things, so then it wouldn't work. Because, in other words, somebody walks into Beis Din. Right, let's say I happen to know that you want to get out of your peanut eating neder.
You can't just say, don't bother me now, you're out of it.
Right? So you show up at Beis Din, and I heard you at the Kiddush kvetching about not eating the peanuts. So you walk into Beis Din, and I'm in a rush, so I say, mutar lach, mutar lach, mutar lach. I don't think you would say that it's Hataras Nadarim, because it didn't go through. There's still a procedure that has to be performed. The justice of the peace can't just say man and wife, man and wife. What?
He did do the chakira, and then Bedodi says.
Why would he do that if he?
No, just bad.
How big a mumche?
He's the wrong term. But then that would work. Obviously, the same.
Yeah, because then the chakira beforehand was miutar, because all he needs to do is the hafara. In which case, why would he have been doing the chakira? But okay, you understand the point. What? That's the example. That's why I gave that example, not David's example. If he misses the right, he misses the choice, so then he still has the hatarla.
Yeah, but he says the chakira and all that, and then he says mufala instead of mutala.
Right.
It should work.
Lichura, it should work. So why lo amar klum? Ditanya. Ze hadavar. And this is the pasuk. If you have the pasukim still, I'm sure. Bamidbar Perek Lamed. Beginning of Parshat Matot. Vayedaber Moshe el Roshei Hamatot Livnei Yisrael Lemor Ze Hadavar Asher Tziva Hashem. So the Gemara wants to learn out from the language of Ze Hadavar. Davar can mean what?
Thing, word.
This is matter. Matter. What's the pshat of Zeh HaDavar?
The stone, which is
the matter.
This is the matter. What? But it could also mean this is the
word.
The word. So here the language matters. Ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem ish ki yidor nedev Hashem o hishava shvua so yisar al nefsho lo yachal vav v'chule v'chule. So ze hadavar, זה הדבר, חכם מתיר ואין בעל מתיר. The chacham or the betin, they're in the business of hatarat nedarim, but husbands are not. Shiachol uma chacham she'ein mefir matir. So what's the havamina? What might you think? You might think that a chacham she'ein mefir matir. In other words, the chacham, the betin, can't do hafarat nedarim, but they can do hatarat nedarim. Baal shemefir, ein odin shematir.
Yeah, but you would think that
it's a kal v'chom. It's trying to make a kal v'chom, right? In other words, the assumption being that hafara is grander than hatara. So I understand the betin, they can only do hatara. Right, so exactly, and you'll see in a moment, having prepared ahead, you understand what you're anticipating. Right? In other words, if one is a greater power, and I'm allowed to do the greater power,
certainly
I should be able to do the lesser power. Right? Why is hafara greater than hatara?
Because it's retroactive.
Either because it's retroactive, or because it's retroactive according to the Rambam, or because it's exclusive power. This all-powerful, get out of jail free card the husband has. There doesn't need to be harata. He doesn't even have to have a reason aside from the fact that he wants to cancel it. Right? It's this grant of power that's given to the husband. So if he's allowed to do hafarat nadarim, so kal v'chomer, he should be able to do hatarat nadarim. Ah, kamash malon. You might have thought that. No, it's not true. Therefore, we have to state exclusively that hatarah and hafarah are two separate things altogether. Talmud lomar, ze hadavar. Chacham matir ve'ein bal matir. So the Gemara says, Tanya idach.
But it isn't saying to us that there's a problem in the logic of the kal v'chomer. It's saying that even though this kal v'chomer logic might apply, that's not, we don't apply it in this case.
Well, in other words, even though there might be logic to it, it doesn't matter because there's a pasuk. Zeh hadavar is the pasuk that tells you the word that this one uses is different than the word that that one uses. And if you try to mix them up, it doesn't work.
How does Zeh HaDavar by itself do that? How does it accomplish?
It's a big term.
It's a term. Zeh HaDavar. This is the word. Right? Each of them has a specific language. Each of them has a specific word.
From this is the word.
Right. So Tanya Idach, but maybe you can teach the Bryce the exact opposite. Zeh HaDavar, Baal Mefir ve'ein Chacham Mefir. Sheachol u ma'bal she'ein matir mefir chacham she'matir ein odin she'mefir. Well, maybe it's the exact opposite. In other words, the kal v'chomer can switch back and forth depending upon which is the kal and which is the chamur.
How do we make the matir more chamur? Because how is it the stronger? How is matir stronger?
There's no time limitation.
Right. Any other way?
And according to the Ran, that's the one that's retroactive. In other words, each of them has yitronot that the other one is lacking.
You can also bring it to anyone, not just the wife or daughter.
And the betin is not limited to the wife and daughter.
So
what's right?
More powerful?
Right? So in other words, each, depending upon how you look at it, one is the kal and one is the chomer, but when you flip it around, the other one is the chomer and the first one is the kal. Right? Talmud lomar ze adavar baal mefer ve'en chacham mefer. No matter how you say, you could say the havamina this way, you could say the havamina that way. right? But either way, it doesn't matter because the Baal has to be mefer, the father has to be mefer, and the chacham or the betin has to be matir, and they each only have recourse to their own thing. This is a bit of a strange, right? These two different kal vachomers. Right? Because, in other words, the point of a kal vachomer is that it's a logical inference.
Right, but you could argue about the logic in a logical inference. You could have an argument, which is the kal vachomer, which is the chomer, and a kal vachomer argument.
Right, but generally, a kal vachomer doesn't work that way. Generally, the kal vachomer works because this is the logic. Now, you might say there's an exception to this rule. You might say that in Achinami, this is a kal vachomer, but there's a larger principle at work that limits its application. But here, we're not even sure what the kal vachomer. You can't say it's a kal vachomer if the exact opposite is also true. It's true. So it's
the other way. You say, okay, so it's not a kal vachomer either,
right.
Either direction.
But the reason that the hava mina doesn't stand is not because you could say that. You could say, I have a hava mina that it's like this. You could say, oh, we're going to reject that hava mina because the exact opposite could be true. That's not why we reject this hava mina. We reject this hava mina because there's a controlling drasha on the pasuk that establishes the fact. Right, that's what's strange about the kal vachomer. So, in fact, if you look at the Rosh, the Tosfot also says it, but we don't have the Tosfot on the page. Look at the Rosh here on the bottom. You see here at the bottom is the Rosh. So you see on the Rosh, the second, the last wide line in the Rosh, it says kal vachomer liravuta de milta ba'almohu. Deiloktiv miuta memela hayulam dim zemize litain et ha amur shel zebeze ve shel zebeze v'od e lav miuta de zeh davar manalan de chacham eno mefir. The end of the day, the answer has nothing to do with the strength or the weakness of this kal vachomer or that kal vachomer, but the miuta, the limiting force of the pasuk zeh davar. So what is the point of these? You can read the braisa this way, you can read the braisa that way. Liravuta de milta. It's merely a rhetorical flourish on the part of the Gemara. Meaning the Rosh is saying, don't take this kal vachomer too seriously. Because it's not technically a kal vachomer works if it stands on its own logical 2 feet. This kal vachomer, which admittedly is within the context of a hava mina, you know from the outset it's going to be rejected. But it's not rejected for the reasons that you might reject the kal vachomer. Right? So this whole somewhat odd, you know, turning the braisa this way and that way, saying the kal vachomer can read from left to right or can read it from right to left, it's a rhetorical flourish. It shouldn't be taken as a technically sound kal vachomer. You don't like that? Usually you smile.
I think it's right to be a little clever at times.
Yes. So now go back to the Gemara on Ayin Ched Omer Aleph. Ne'mar kan zeh hadavar. In our pasuk, in our parsha of Nedarim, it's a zeh hadavar. But there's a gzera shav. V'ne'mar lahalan zeh hadavar. Now, what is that zeh hadavar? How do you know that? Oh, zeh hadavar b'shchutei chutz. That's Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin. What's shchutei chutz?
Whether you can
shech
the korban
outside
of the
right. In other words, in the days of old, anybody wanted to bring a korban brought a korban. Once you have one center of worship, it becomes usur to be makriv or to shecht any mukdoshin, any animals that have been sanctified outside of that one center of worship.
Outside of this particular animal, it's going to be a korban.
Once you've made it hektish, right?
state of the world is especially
good. They were really wrong. Yeah, Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin Posuk Bet. Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Rimor. This is in Parshat Achrimot. Daber El Aaron Ve'El Banav Ve'El Kol B'nei Yisrael. Listen carefully. I'm sorry I didn't Xerox with you. Daber El Aaron Ve'El Banav Ve'El Kol B'nei Yisrael Ve'amarta Elayhem Ze Hadavar Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor Ish Ish Mibet Yisrael Asher Yishchat Shor Kesev O'ez Be'machane Asher Yishchat Mechutz L'machane Ve'El Petach O'el Moed וכולי וכולי, ולא הביאו להקריב קורבן להשם לפני משכן השם, דם יחשב לאיש ההוא. What? אל פתח אוהל מועד לא הביאו.
I guess they, right? If they didn't lo hiviu, then it must have been intended for a korban.
Ve'hiviu la'akriv korban, la'shem. La'akriv korban la'shem. Right? So you chayev skila if you do shchut echutz. So the Gemara says this is a hekesh. By Nedarim it says Zehadavar, and by this completely unrelated category of halacha, at least it seems unrelated. Are they at all related? Before we get to the Gemara, are these two things conceptually related?
Well, the only possible relationship is that there are categories. The three categories are addressed. Well, Aaron is another one category, and Kol Yisrael is another category. You could think maybe that it's like the Chachamim and a regular Yom.
No, that's very good. It happens to be wrong.
Okay.
But it's very good. There are two types of wrong answers. Wrong answers that are just stupid, and wrong answers that happen to be incorrect, but otherwise there's a logic to it, and you'll see in a moment, you're anticipating something, unbeknownst to you, you're anticipating something in the Gemara, unless you prepared ahead.
You say that they're related because they're both talking. In one part, right, they're talking about korbanot outside the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, so you're taking, like, so to speak, you're taking like the matters into your own hands. And here you're talking about nedarim, and the baal and the husband's right or part in it, but he is limited because only so much he can do outside of the. What do you call it? Beit Mishpat, whatever it's called, right?
Beit Din.
Outside the Beit Din. And if he goes past that, then well, he's like doing too much outside and he's taking marriage into the Din. I was going to say I'm wrong also.
Maybe. I'm not sure. It's certainly not what I was thinking. Is there any other way that Ndarim and the Indian of Shrut Echutz are related? Yeah. Mm-hmm. In other words, the Issur of Shchut Echutz is once you've consecrated this animal, then it has to be shechted inside Beit HaMikdash. Stam, you have a chicken running around, you want to make chicken soup. So, I was going to say wings, but okay.
Wings are good.
Chicken soup is healthy.
Baruch Hashem. You can put the chicken in the pot and make the wings.
Yeah.
So, but once you are makdish it, hektish is a form of neder, right? They're if they're not siblings, they're first cousins, right? So keep that in mind. Now look in the Gemara. Nemar kan ze hadavar v'nemar lahalan ze hadavar b'shchut echutz. So when you have a gzera shava, right, you know what a gzera shava is, right? The Chazal, if there are two phrases that are very close or preferably identical, so we say if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. And we can learn halachot from one matter to another matter. So if the Torah uses the phrase ze hadavar for nedarim and ze hadavar for shukutei chutz, presumably that's to make some kind of equation to say that a halakha from this category applies to there and a halakha from that category applies to here. And then it's just a matter of figuring out what they are. Anybody want to venture a guess of these two otherwise completely unrelated areas of halakha? What each might borrow from the other?
Is there a time limitation for the
Yeah, the Torah says you have to bring it, you know, within three regalim.
You say it. It's not like you have any chance
to
cancel it.
Ah, well, we'll see.
Not to cancel a neder or to cancel your hekdesh.
Well, for hatarat nedarim, there's no time limit. But for hafarat nedarim,
when you hear it,
it's the husband or the father has until the end of that day.
That they hear it.
That they hear
it. They made it last week, but this is the first thing you hear about it today.
They have it until the end of that day.
So from now on,
So the Gemara says, Ma bishchutei chutz, Aharon uvanav v'chol Yisrael. Right? Remember the pasuk there, Nachremot, Daber el Aharon ve'el banav el kol beit Yisrael. Ma lahalan Aharon uvanav v'chol beit Yisrael, af parshat nedarim. Aharon uvanav v'chol Yisrael.
And is lacking. Is not good.
Well, Aaron was alive.
Yeah. Well, Aaron might not mean specifically Aaron. It might mean
the Kohen Gadol, the Kohenim Hidyot, and Yisrael.
Okay.
Clearly.
If the Torah didn't say it, you should have been doing the same. Umakan Roshe HaMatot Af Lahalan Roshe Matot Beparshan Edarim Lamai Hilchata. So what's the halakha that transfers here? Omar of Acha Bar Yaakov Lahakshir Shlosha Hedyotot. Just like it says, V'chol Yisrael. In other words, you have Aaron uvanav. V'chol Yisrael are shayach in shchutei chutz. So just like chol Yisrael are involved in shchutei chutz, so it could also be that you do with gimel hediotot. Look at the Rashi, lachshir gimel hediotot. Like four lines down in the thin lines in the Rashi. Lachshir shlosha hediotot behafarat nedarim. The Aaron chad uvanav chad v'chol Yisrael hare tlata. In other words, just like it, because it's what? Oh,
why not hafara?
Because hafara, you don't need. This is that you're right. That's an excellent point.
Sakim are talking about the Hathara. You're not talking about Hathara. So, have you learned anything about Hathara from these? There's no talking about Hathara here at all.
Right, but in other words, here when we're talking about going to the Beit Din, we're talking about Hathara and not Hathara.
They're learning here, do you need Hathara? Here? Huh?
Shema mina lachshir shlosha hediotot.
In other words, the fact that what we're saying is the fact that that Aaron and sons and Yisrael are put in one category means that they could be considered equal,
right?
And therefore, they could also constitute
right.
But then I also have shown from the wife of Hafara, so you don't need that thing.
Yeah, no, so I understand. So I think it probably should say Hatara, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure why it says Hafara. Vahar Roshe Matot Ketiv. Ah. But it says the Roshe Matot.
And then when you go back in, you're going to go for another year before you're actually ready.
Roshe Matot sounds like what? What?
sounds people leaders. Would be more, like Rosh Hashanah.
That's Rosh Hashanah does not sound like Hediot.
No, it sounds like Mumkin.
Omar, so Omar Rav Chisda, Ve'item Rav Yochanan, Be'yachid Mumche. So that's what we learn out the din, that it can either be three Hediotot, three regular garden variety Dayanim, or one Mumche. Halacha Lamaisa today, we don't have Mumchim. That's why we always do a Tarnan Darm in front of a regular Bez Din of three. Roshe Matot B'Shchut Echutz, L'mai Hilchata. So why in Shchut Echutz does it mention the Roshe Matot? And it's Shchut Echutz is a halacha for who? Well, everybody, anybody. It's also to do the Shchita no matter who you are. So Omar Rav Sheshit, Lomar Sheyesh She'ila Behektish. When you make Hektish, so just like in Hatarat Nadarim, just like in Nadarim, there's Hatara. The other thing about being told is so there is, what does She'ilah mean?
Towards your work of God.
Well, She'ilah is a synonym for Hatarat Nadarim. You can go and you can request to get out of it. So you're Makdish something. You're Makdish a cow. And then, I don't know, you realize you made a terrible mistake. You, right? You know, you shouldn't, you know, it's like the plot of like an old Three's Company episode or something. You know, like you go to they're in the auction house and you raise your hand and you just realize, you know, you won the bid for $1 million on a piece of art. Right? So you're Makdish, you realize, oh my God, Makdish, this cow's going to ruin me. I thought I had like 1,000 cows. It turns out it's my only cow. So you can go to Bet Din and you can do She'ila Hatara on the Hektish. So that's why it mentions the Roshe Matot in the Shchut Echutz in order to create this equivalency with Nedarim. Just like Hektish, just like Nedarim, there's a way out with Hatara, so too with Hektish there's a way out. But there's a problem. Not everyone agrees that there is She'ila in Hektish.
If it's an animal that can't be brought in the spare, I don't think it's a way out.
Well, without getting into it, the halacha lemaisa is that it's... Do we have a Rambam here? Do you have a Rambam in a Darim here?
It's a Sefer, yeah.
I know where it is, I just don't have the Rambam. It's in Haflo. Where's... Over there. One over. So the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Yud Gimel, is what we were looking at last week. We were looking at earlier parts of this last week. Oh, look at that. It's like a jackpot when you open the page exactly the way you're meant to be.
And Rabbi Tommy, if you open it up and it isn't the right page, you use it as a bad sign.
Well, because it takes away from your schar bo
mabo. No, if it... Now you should view it as like some amazing, you know, thing. It's good. Anytime you open it, it isn't the right page. Then that's a bad
sign.
It
isn't the right page. So Amru Chacham Kol Anoder Ki Ilu Bana Bama. Ve'im Avar V'Nadar Mitzvah Lehashil Al Nidro Kedei Shelo Yehe Mechshol Lefanav. Bama Dvarim Omrim. Bama Dvarim B'Nedrei Isar. Oh, Nedrei Hektish Mitzvah Lekayman. V'lo yishal aleihem, ela midochak.
Really, what is his only cow?
Whatever dochak is. I mean, the Rambam doesn't specify, but the those that Kalim try to give examples, the Gemara give examples. But in other words, for Hatarat Nadarim, it doesn't have to be a case of dochak. Like it's an emergency, it's a financial distress, it's a medical, it's a who knows what. Right? There's a whole variety of ways. As a matter of fact, it's generally pretty easy to get out of a neder through Hatarat Nadarim. But for Hekdesh, there's a higher bar. So the Ram, this is the last halacha, the last halacha in Hilchot Nedarim. It tells you there is such a thing as She'ela Behekdesh. Ela Mitzvah Lakaiman Velo Yishalim Ela Bedocha Shneemar Nedarai Lashem Ashalim. What's that from?
Hala.
So only if it's dochak can you get out of it. So it's not exactly like a tarik nedarim, but at least in principle, the concept exists. But it's not a unanimous opinion. That's the opinion. It's halacha. It's the opinion of Beis Hillel. But Beis Shammai says, "Ein sheila behekdesh." If you're makdish something, you are stuck. And if you don't do it, you're in serious trouble. There's no way out.
Because he himself, the Altar,
so how does Beis Shammai learn the Gemara? In other words, all of this is here to solve the problem of the Gzeira Shava. What is it talking about the Roshei Matot for in Shchut Echutz?
In order to
remind you that there's Hataras Nadarim, that there's Hataras Nadarim even for Hekdesh. But that's only if there is such a thing as, right? So what does Beis Shammai do with the presence of the Matot in Hekdesh? Beis Shammai let lehu Gzeira Shava. They don't have this Gzeira Shava at all.
It didn't start with the intrinsic part.
In other words, the fact that you have two words that are identical, Zeh HaDavar v'Zeh HaDavar, does not mechayev you to make a Gzeira Shava. As Zygmunt once said, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Sometimes two words, or three words, or a phrase is there to teach you a Gzeira Shava. But not always.
Hermeneutically? Are these Gzeira Shava supposed to be something that's supposed to be some sort of a Sorah, or that you're something you can can determine on their own?
That's the $100,000 question. Right? In other words, were the midot shatoni dreshed by him?
No, the midot. Let's say they were the mesor, but the actual, like, dreshot themselves, are they? Could any tana say
what came first, the halacha or the drasha?
Well, not even that. Just could any tana say, okay, I see two tzitzit. Am I going to make a drasha? Or does it actually be like?
That's the simple understanding, I think. That's similar. What? No, because we don't have smicha. I mean, you can make a gzeresh if you're giving a drasha at Chal Shudis. You can make any gzeresh you want, just like you can do any gematria you want, and we even let you be off by one. But to actually darshan with a capital D, to learn halacha from it. So we don't. That's one of the things. That's, in other words, what we don't. When we lost, whenever it was that it happened, that the unbroken chain of transmission, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, essentially going back to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai, when that ended with the cessation of smicha, with a capital S, not smicha like we have today, what was smicha?
Continued the authorization from Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right? In other words, it wasn't just a piece of paper. It wasn't a piece of paper at all. It was the literal laying of the hands which authorized you from the power of your Rebbe, Shabbat Kemi Sinai, to darshan.
Energy train.
No, and as it authorized you to use these midot chatorah jeshabahem to learn halachot. And other things, like, in other words, to judge cases, dinei nefashot. That's why we don't have these things anymore, because we don't have rabbis that can we have dayonim that can settle monetary cases, but that's not the same as to dandin in a fashot. and that was the authority that came. Those were things that came with the authority of smicha of once upon a time. When smicha actually ended is a matter of debate. Let's say, like we used to learn in school, that's part of what the Romans did. The agadot about the Asara Haruge Malchut, not the way that the ahistorical way that we remember it in the piyut. You know, like the piyut of the 10 martyrs, which is said on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, even though they're not all the same martyrs. Right? This is this typological number of 10 martyrs, but if you compare the names, you see they're not identical. Right? But it makes it seem like when you're a kid and you're reading that piyut in shul on Yom Kippur, it makes it sound like they're all there in the arena being fed to the lions at once. They didn't all even live in the same generation. But part of the persecution of the Chachamim, right? The scene of Rabbi Akiva, right? You know, they're running away. What's Rabbi Akiva doing as the Romans are chasing him? He's giving smicha, right? He's giving smicha because if they're going to catch old Rabbi Akiva, who probably couldn't run so fast anymore, but if he could, you know, like tag, you're it. Like if he could tag one of his talmidim with the smicha, lay on the somech the yadayim, right? So then the chain wouldn't be broken. But presumably, at least according to like one trend in how we remember these things, part of the Roman persecution against the Chachamim was to kind of break this unbroken chain. And that's why, like they say, you have to stop teaching Torah. And he says, Manoshach. Right? If they kill me, I can't teach Torah. And if I can't teach Torah, so mela, I'm dead. Because without being able to teach Torah, you're as good as dead. Without being able to learn Torah, you're as good as dead. So I might as well teach Torah. Right? But part of that imperative to teach Torah was not just Torah lishma, but to maintain the continuity of the tradition, which was broken with the end of smicha. And the attempts at different points in history, most famously in the 16th century in Tzfat, to revive smicha, was an attempt to get this going. You know, there's this ending. You know this Rambam? You know this?
There's a certain number of people in Eretz Israel.
There's an enigmatic Rambam that says if, in theory, smicha could be reestablished, right? And there was an attempt. Yosef Karo was involved in this to revive smicha in the 16th century in Tzfat. There's a machlokas between the Chochmei Tzfat and the Chochmei Yerushalayim. The Chochmei Yerushalayim did not favor this. There's been a lot of historical work. One of the important essays on this is by Professor Yaakov Katz, Zechorno Levracha, about why there was this kind of pitom in the middle of the 16th century. It may have had something to do with the people that were the remnant of the Megurashei Sfarad. It may have had things to do with the same time and place, the revival of Kabbalah, mystical ideas. It may have had something to do with the desire to reinstate corporal punishments, because the people that had been conversos, Jews who had insincerely converted, but converted in order to save their lives and had escaped from Spain and had now come to Eretz Yisrael, had this kind of what would you call that? Complex, kind of this guilt on them. And if we could reinstitute Batei Din, that could give Malkot, well, that would get us off the hook. So there were a whole variety of things. But it's
like Chadodi was there. I think
was there the Hatikva?
Yeah, it's written like a national. It was written.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, so in answer to the question, so but it's just because you have two words doesn't mean that you're chayiv to darshan the Gzeirah Shavah. Beit Shammai is a problem because he does not believe in hashalah for hektish, in which case he's left holding half a Gzeirah Shavah. Right? In other words, Beis Hillel or the Tana or the Stam Gemara had a way to square this equation. Rabbi Shammai is left with a blank on one side of the equal sign. So what does he do? He erases the whole equation. He says, I don't have this Gzeirah Shavah. And therefore he's off the hook. Therefore he's off the hook. Okay. We'll stop here. A good Chanukah. What do you say? Freilich in Purim. Freilich in Purim.
Happy holidays.